Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to get to Jerry Brewer, Washington Post NBA expert, shortly here.
It was terrific
last week, by the way. SDCCU fan hotline. Yes, talk about all these moves that have been made and not yet made in the NBA. If you're wondering, by the way, just tuning in, did Kawhi Leonard make any decision today? He did not. Did
the
I trick a few people there?
Is no.
He hasn't made a decision yet, so he's still out there. I got to ask, well, we'll ask Jerry about this, but I want to know what you think, too, Tony, about the Lakers, because, you know, with D'Angelo Russell going to the Warriors now, Jimmy Butler to Miami and all the other movement in the backcourt, if the Lakers don't get Kawhi Leonard, are they going to be in a little bit of world of hurt with only Anthony Davis? Because, are there any superstar guys left out there?
There's no more superstar guys,
yeah,
which is fine. You don't have to have another. So I think they can compete with that.
You think
two.
They'd be all right with LeBron James and Anthony
I think
Davis?
Be fine.
Still be
the
all right.
Question is filling out the rest of the roster, and that is the kind of gamble, is that the roles that you saw guys that were free agents starting to dry up. You know, there's not a lot of them out there, so.
We'll see. All right, Jerry Brewer does join us now from the Washington Post to talk some NBA on the SDCCU fan hotline. Jerry, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Really, really
Thanks
happy
for coming
you joined
back
us
on.
Again. Thank
yeah.
you so much. Let's start there with the Lakers situation if they don't get Kawhi Leonard, because we don't know exactly where that's going to go. But if they don't, what would you expect the Lakers to then do? Do they have a plan, you know, one and a half, as it were?
They're in some trouble if they don't get Kawhi, because you look at what was crazy about yesterday, you know, especially the first 6 to 8 hours of free agency, is not only were such a high number of stars, you know, an unprecedented number of stars off the board, but a lot of the really quality role players, you know, the Malcolm Brogdons and guys like that are gone too. You know, I look at Brogdon, for instance, sign and trade, 5 years, $85 billion. I mean, that's just half of what the Lakers have to offer. And if you could get Brogdon, you know, and let's say Trevor Ariza and then another piece, it seems like that might have been worth just telling Kawhi, like, look, you either got to commit tonight or we got to move on. And now they're in a position in which if they don't get Kawhi, I don't think there's going to be enough really impactful role players left on the market for it to make sense. And mind you, like, they have to make this work positionally.
Yeah.
Your best three forwards right now, your best three players are forwards. And adding Kawhi would add another forward to the mix. But he's Kawhi Leonard, you know, you figure that out. That's fine. But if, like, your best option is Marcus Morris, well, you're not going to add another forward to the list for Marcus Morris,
right,
or Markieff Morris, or some of those guys. And I think they've got this very definitive plan on adding Kyrie and getting a bunch of veterans, a la, you know, Andre Iguodala, maybe Rondo comes back, you know, a lot of guys for just a little bit of money because they've had nice careers. But all of a sudden, if you don't get Kawhi, are those guys as inclined to want to join you, knowing how thin you are?
Yeah, it's a solid point.
Yeah, Tony, your team's in trouble. The Bulls might even be able to stay within 35 points of the Lakers now.
Let me ask you this, Jerry. Do you legitimately think Kawhi is, like, going through the entire process of going through teams, or is, you know, he have his idea, kind of an idea where he wants to go, or and is just trying to dot his I's and cross his T's here?
I think he really wants to return to Los Angeles. And that's what he's wanted all along. I think emotionally, that's what he's really struggling with. I think he knows that the best situation for him in the short term is to return to Toronto. They know him. They managed his body really well last year. They won the championship. There's still a lot of room for growth with those guys because they didn't play very long together, especially when you consider Marc Gasol was brought on at the trade deadline and so on and so forth. So that team can be even more dominant, even though they have a championship. So I think he's looking at that, and he knows their medical staff and their training staff. But the pull to return to Southern California is just so strong.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you think about – and you also think about – you think about a kid growing up in Southern California – and you're on the phone with Magic Johnson,
right?
And there, you know, and there's Dr. Buss's daughter is the owner, and she's talking to you. The best player in the game for the past decade, LeBron James, is telling you, "I really want to play with you. I'm willing to tone my game down for you. I also understand I'm almost 35. You're 28." Anthony Davis is 26. This is your team. Let me just lay the bridge for it to be your team, and let's dominate together. I mean, these are things that's just like, I mean, they're dream scenarios for a player, especially one from that area. So I think it's going to be hard to resist that. But I still think the fact that Toronto wisely is going to make the pitch last. And there's even though he won a championship, there's so much more that he could accomplish there if he just signed a 2-year deal.
Right.
I think that's what he's going to do.
Jerry Brewer joins us, Washington Post on the SDCCU fan hotline. Jerry, you brought up Kawhi's body and how it was well managed in Toronto. And I look at the idea of him joining a LeBron James and an Anthony Davis. You think that one of the thought process going through this is a place that he could actually be able to take load management and the team wouldn't necessarily have a fall off? Because if when you look at it from those three guys' perspective, I don't know if either of the three are capable of making it through 82 games in a season anymore. So it seems like it would be kind of ideal to play with multiple guys where you can kind of alternate taking load management days off.
You could look at it that way, but then you can also look at it and say, well, where are all the role players who are going to fill in?
Yeah.
And that's the tough part. I mean, he only had to play 60 games last year with the Raptors, and they won 58. And that was with Kyle Lowry and Siakam and all of those guys. So their depth is considerable compared to the Lakers, you know, even though you would have three stars. And, you know, I mean, and let's face it, when you're a player of that caliber, when you're on the court, you want to be on. You don't want to have to kind of subdue your game. And that's part of the issue is that, like, yeah, you could do some load management days with all three of them and just sort of have a rotation. But one of those guys, you're still having to sacrifice quite a bit.
Yeah,
and he just won this thing like as the number one, not as 1A, not as number two,
no.
You know, not as Tim Duncan's, you know, perimeter defensive stopper, all of that. He won it as the dominant number one guy, and I do think that's going to be hard for him to give up. And he's probably also thinking after getting through last year, he's going to get his body even better and stronger, and he's going to look at it and say, I've only played 70 games in my NBA career twice. I want to get back to being that guy who can be durable and add some longevity. And it's such a hard decision for Kawhi because this is he now is a figure who's making a play for legacy. I mean, he can go down as one of the top 20 all-time greatest players. And it's just a matter of which way do you see – how do you see yourself and who has everything – that's going to make you comfortable so you can go chase this.
Jerry Brewer, Washington Post with us, SDCCU fan hotline. Jerry, real quick, let's switch over to the Brooklyn Nets. If you had a little extra cash lying around right now, would you bet that the Brooklyn Nets win an NBA championship based on what they did yesterday at some point, or bet that they don't?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to bet... I'm going to have to bet that they don't.
Yeah.
Because okay. I see this possibility of Kawhi in Toronto or L.A. So, you know, one of those teams is going to be exceedingly dominant. Let's say Kawhi goes back to Toronto. So you're going to have to deal with them for a few more years. And then on the other side, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to figure it out with the Lakers. There are, a ton of teams in sort of that Houston, Philadelphia 76ers, Milwaukee Bucks, kind of in that cluster, that you're going to have to contend with. I'm not a big fan of Kyrie Irving. I love the flash in his game, his dribbling ability, his shot making. I think everything else that he brings to the table is substandard. And I think there are flaws, and I think they're going to have a hard time meshing their games when KD gets back. You're also sacrificing a year, or the majority of the year, so this is essentially a three-year contract, so your time is shrunk there a little bit. They're going to be relevant. They're going to be fun. But I just don't see them getting there because I think there's a little something missing with Kyrie. Even though he's won a championship, I get that. But I think as far as a load-carrying player for the long term, I think there's a little something missing there. I think Durant, while he's going to come back and be a fantastic player, he's still going to probably be 3 or 4% less than what he is, and that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And I thought bringing KD's buddy DeAndre Jordan along for the ride didn't make any sense. I guess it secured KD's signature, and that's what you were trying to do, but they've got a young big in Jared Allen who you need to clear the deck for because he could be a star. So, I mean, this is another one of those aspects of when players start playing GM, that's not always the right move. And a $10 million piece like DeAndre Jordan is a huge piece. And they picked it on a player who he's not going to be a $10 million player for them, quite honestly. So every little thing counts. And this league is going to be crazy for the next few years if all the guys do what they're supposed to now that they're in place. And I just see the Nets, maybe they make the finals, but I think I see them coming up a little bit short.
I hope you're right. I just do. I always like when the biggest name free agent teams don't quite make it, but we'll see. It's going to be very interesting. Jerry, love your input. Appreciate the time. Wish we had some more time to talk about it all because there was so much that happened yesterday, but I'm sure we'll have much more to discuss here this off season. So we'll look forward to catching up with you down the road. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Anytime. Take care.
Absolutely. Jerry Brewer right there, SDCCU fan hotline, and you can vote SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/vote.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello. It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Shout out to, I heard one of my favorite voices from Major League at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff there. Good stuff.
Like we got hosed on that call.
I like that quote.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Uke?
Yeah,
hey, Uke.
Is it Uecker?
Bob Uecker.
Yes, yeah, not Uecker. Rick Uecker. He's an NBA guy that I've been trying to get on the show.
Different guy.
Yes.
Different guy.
That's a great movie. All right, the Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. Great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater System. EcoWater. That's really, 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 really clean water. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com. And let's get into it, Thomas.
Number five.
I feel better. I'm in my seat. Thomas is back on the board. We got my thing going.
Stress you don't levels, look any better.
Stress levels thank you. Have returned.
Stress levels have returned to normal. Just an 8 out of a 10. All right, number five. Kawhi Leonard was in town over the weekend, and that made its rounds on Twitter. The video that went viral was Kawhi in Trujillo's taco shop near SDSU ordering his food. Kawhi ordered... I know. Kawhi, listen to what he ordered. He ordered the Sigma Chi Crunch Wrap, which I looked up because I've never had one, never been to Trujillo's, and it looks delicious. I've never had one. I'm going to go get one. Anyway, Trujillo's tweeted out they offered to give him his meal for free, and Kawhi insisted on paying. What a guy he is. He did, however, accept a free horchata, though.
So. He got himself some free horchata.
Yes, which I think you win an NBA title and you pay for your Crunchwrap, you get a free horchata.
For sure, for real.
Chris.
I absolutely refuse to pay to take this meal for free, but how about a horchata?
Chris, the question is, what is the most starstruck you've ever been? Because this kid who got this video was starstruck.
Starstruck I've ever been. Steve Garvey being in studio for about an hour was
you mentioned that, and you didn't lead that. I didn't think that you were nervous at all.
I was totally nervous. Really? Steve Garvey was like my guy growing up, you know, in L.A., and just watching him play for the Dodgers and never able to get close to somebody like a Garvey. So when he came in studio that day and hung out with us for half an hour, I was on edge the whole day.
I could,
but I was happy, and it was a fun time to have him in, and he was really a tremendous guy. But that's the one that sticks out in my mind right now. There's probably another one.
That counts. That's a good one. Tony, what is the most starstruck you've ever been?
I told the story about me when I was 16 being the towel guy for the Lakers, meeting Kobe Bryant. So fast forward to my years in L.A., and Beto, who covered the Lakers, offered to have me come down to practice facility, watch a practice, and meet Kobe. And I turned him down.
What?
Really, because I was starstruck.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I regret it so bad.
See, I almost made Scraby cancel Steve Garvey. I was so starstruck. I really was.
I think I came up with some lame excuse about not wanting to deal with traffic, which it probably wasn't a lame excuse because it was Los Angeles. But, man, if I had it to do over again, I'd have jumped at it.
You grew up around stars.
I did.
So did you ever get the talk by your dad, like, don't gawk?
No, because I actually didn't when it came to baseball. Maybe because I was around it.
Yeah.
But my dad had the same type moment when he met Michael Jordan for the first time. Like, my dad was very... I'd never seen my dad starstruck.
Everybody's got somebody that they're starstruck by. I bet you even Michael Jordan probably had somebody. I don't know who it would have been, but...
Probably somebody in baseball.
Or a politician or something. Maybe an Obama type of thing.
Could be.
Who knows?
Our winner everybody's did call got in, by some. The way.
Hey, all right. Yes. Congratulations to Armando.
Armando.
Biggest fan. Way to go, Armando.
That's right, Armando.
Armando gets all the prizes.
You get that prize, Armando!
Okay, knock it off now.
The 133rd edition of Wimbledon gets underway today in London, England. And this morning, in honor of it, I watched the movie Wimbledon with Paul Bettany and Kirsten Dunst. It was a brilliant movie. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I recommend it. No Americans on the men's side are expected to make much noise, and Serena Williams is again going to try and capture her eighth singles title and her first since 2016. Tony, where does Wimbledon rank on your list of yearly sporting events?
Super Bowl, World Series, NBA Finals.
Checkers.
the World Chess Competition.
The Bocce Ball Tournament.
This year it'd probably fall behind World Cup for me.
So fifth.
Yeah. Probably fifth.
That's pretty high.
That is pretty high.
I just stopped five because I couldn't
US think Open, of any more. Masters, you care about those?
No, Masters is ahead of it. US Open.
Is ahead of it.
Is ahead of it. All right. That's one of my bucket list spots.
So it's a top...
It's top 10.
Top 10, okay. Probably a 10, though, it sounds 10, like.
Maybe
top
wavering
15.
Maybe wavering to 12, 14,
I was just
15.
About to say 12. I was feeling that. Chris, where is it for you? I know you like tennis.
I do. Wimbledon ranks just below the four major sports and then just below the top two college sports. So I have to put it behind all of the championships in football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. So seventh is as high as I can go. But I really do like Wimbledon. I love the tradition. I love to watch it.
I like Wimbledon, too.
And I love to... although I think it's time that... what do you think about the rule that they've had for over 100 years that everybody has to wear white on white?
Time to change it.
Time to change. Let these people... let the players be themselves. What did they say in baseball?
Let the kids play. Yeah.
Let the kids play. I mean, why, the white though? On white... I don't because see I can't, because I can't tell the players apart without a scorecard.
All right.
I do love Wimbledon. I really like it the first couple of days, also with the HDTV now. Because
oh, yeah.
The grass just looks so spectacular.
By the end of it, you got the dry spots just, where everybody's surfing.
It's all dug out. And, but the first couple of days watching Wimbledon, it's so pristine looking.
Yeah.
Nice. By the way, Venus Williams lost today to the 15-year-old young lady, Corey
Goff. That we talked about her on Friday, I believe.
Talked about her on Friday. You said, can you believe she qualified for the tournament? And I said, yeah. And she proved why she qualified for the tournament. She took out Venus Williams in the first round today. Nice going.
That has got to be one of those things you're going to bed. I beat Venus Williams today?
I wonder if Venus is looking over across the net.
Like, going, that's me 20 years ago.
What is going on? Am I seeing myself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Venus Williams looked across, saw herself 20 years ago, and that 20 years ago, Venus beat her.
Number three.
There aren't likely to be any Christmas cards exchanged between Chicago Cubs pitcher Pedro Strop and Cincinnati Reds outfielder Yasiel Puig after the two had words with each other as the benches cleared in the Cubs 6-0 win on Saturday. Strop said after the game it wasn't intentional that he hit him.
Oh my goodness, what a liar that is.
Here he is in postgame talking about it.
It was a 3-0 pitch. You know, it could look weird, but... it wasn't a secret. I wasn't commending that my sinker in, and I didn't want to leave a cookie 3-0. This is a guy that he'll swing 3-0 and just hit it way out of the park. But he just acts stupid. I don't know. And then, like, I don't know what to say about it.
No, you think we're stupid, Pedro.
No, he thinks Yasiel Puig is stupid.
No, he thinks we're stupid.
Just wait.
No way we believe him.
Here is Yasiel Puig's side of the story.
Suspended by Joey Torre because, I don't know, he watched the games. He only wanted to suspend the body. When he's not suspended and do nothing for the pitchers, because the pitcher has the ball in the hand and he's coming and throw the ball to us, and later he's coming and suspend myself. Why not do nothing?
They both made great arguments. I think I'm leaning with Puig, but that
doesn't
matter.
I don't believe they both made great arguments. I think Puig made an all right argument. I think Strope's argument was ridiculous.
Well, if you're in the basis of seeing who's lying, I think they're both telling the truth. So, Chris... who do you agree with in this latest Yasiel Puig issue?
Yasiel Puig.
Interesting.
By a mile.
Really?
Now, going back to what you said at the beginning, that Yasiel Puig isn't going to exchange Christmas cards with Pedro Strop, from what I understand, and I don't know him, Yasiel Puig probably doesn't exchange Christmas cards with anybody in baseball.
You're probably right.
He doesn't seem like he's the most well-liked guy. But I saw that pitch. There is no doubt in my mind that it was intentional. And anytime Joe Maddon is sitting in the dugout of the pitcher who does that, I know it's intentional. There's a purpose behind it because that's the way Joe Maddon manages. And I think Yasiel Puig is right to a certain extent that pitchers do get away with this stuff once in a while. When the batters don't retaliate, there's never a suspension to the pitcher. The only way you can get a suspension to the pitcher is for the batter to retaliate.
Yeah,
I think that's what Puig was saying.
Tony?
I always watch two things when these situations happen. I watch the catcher, see what it looks like. He pretty much gave up from the time the ball came out of his hand.
Right.
That's an indication to me that he knew something was coming, too.
The catcher gave the sign, got up, and walked into the dugout because he knew that Strope was going to hit
him.
Look,
he sets up in, he throws it, and he doesn't even trace it with his glove. Like, when I mean trace it, he sets his glove up, and he starts to move the glove in the direction that the ball is going. He probably stopped. Soon as the ball left his hand, he put his hand down. And to me, that means he clearly knew something was going on.
He didn't want to serve a cookie.
No.
No.
That was ridiculous.
Throw a slider then that you know you can bounce.
He said
the
he
ground.
Can't. He can't
command a sinker.
Sinker.
So why throw it then if that's the case?
Wait, hold up.
I also believe that Yasiel has a terrific point. We talked about this every time the pitchers and hitters get into it, is that the hitters pay the heavier consequence when they get suspended for three, four games, and the pitcher gets suspended,
five games, which is one
start.
Game. Right.
So he's right. I agree with Yasiel.
I also wouldn't mind throwing Joe Maddon a suspension just on merit alone, because he's involved in so many of these things, and he always gets away scot-free. And every time they interview him after one of these things, Joe Madden just charms the life out of everybody, and everybody thinks, Joe, you're so funny and so cute.
He tried to go with, what I liked about it was that he bounced back and got the next two hitters. Now, if you don't knock it off. I said I look at two things.
What was the other thing?
The other thing is I look at body language when all the smoke is going on, right? Yasiel's yelling, and it just you just watched Strop the whole time. He didn't really want anything to do with Yasiel and that the wild bull running around. He wanted no part.
No way. That guy is scary.
Joe Madden should be suspended for that, as should Strope.
Number two.
The Home Run Derby's field is starting to take shape, and so far we have some big-name participants. Actually, this is shaping up to be one of the better ones in a few years. The biggest name in the field is Major League Baseball leader in home runs, Brewers Christian Yelich. Then you have Vlad Jr. of the Blue Jays, who will be the youngest to ever to take part in it at 20 years and 114 days old. Mets star rookie Pete Alonso, Pirates star Josh Bell, Braves Ronald Acuna Jr., and Indians Carlos Santana rounds out the early entrants. There's two more participants. So, Tony, they won't be announced till Wednesday at 7 p.m., but who would you like to see as the last two guys in the field?
Well, one's got to be in the American League. One's got to be in the National League. I would like to see Franmil Reyes.
Vote Franmil. Hashtag.
Manny Margolis got a haircut.
Thank you.
What? And,
I haven't seen who is in there for the American League. Who'd you say, Yelich?
Yelich, Vlad Jr.
No, Yelich is National League.
Oh, yeah, he is.
The American Leaguers.
Vlad Jr.
That's
Vlad
one.
Jr., Santana.
Two.
That's it.
And that's it?
Yeah, they don't. I don't think. Yeah, and then you got Pete Alonso, National League, Pirates.
Acuna,
National
Yelich.
League. Acuna, National League,
so,
and yeah.
If that's the case, then there's got to be two more coming from the American League then.
Did they? I didn't know that they had a split.
I thought they were.
I thought it was always National League versus American League.
Well, I think.
League. Shows
no,
you
stopped,
how much I watched
stopped,
this.
They
thing.
Stopped doing that last year, I think. They don't
know. Yeah, and I think
so
they did that because
they can take
so many people didn't want to do it that they couldn't
well,
figure it out.
Then if that's the case, then that'd have to be American League. Franmil Reyes and Hunter Renfro.
That would be cool. Chris?
Yeah, I. You know what? We were fine today, I think, after we talked it out a little bit with the snubs of the Padre All-Stars. I'm not going to be fine with Franmil Reyes being snubbed from the Home Run Derby. He's absolutely the perfect person for this event. He hits the ball as far, if not further, than anyone in baseball. And he's got the greatest personality. And the other guy, I think, I'm going to leave Hunter out of this just so I don't sound too much like a homer. And I'm going to go with Joey Gallo of Texas.
Oh, yeah,
because he's another guy that just
he can hit the ball a long
monster
way.
Drives.
I take my
I wouldn't
mine.
Mind seeing him in it. But if Franmil's not in it, I'm telling you right now, no way I'm watching.
Riot? Okay.
Number one.
What?
I said, are you going to riot?
Oh, riot?
I just said riot.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Okay, if we haven't heard,
which isn't rare. I don't pay too much close attention.
We have a new show on the station. The John Quintero Show is now from noon to 3 p.m., and Coach made a splash in his first show today. He got Giants manager Bruce Bochy to join them as his first guest. Bochy was asked by Coach, have you thought about coaching again if someone calls you this offseason? And this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, we'll see. I'll see where my head's at. But, you know, I'm good with this decision. You know, I can't, you know, thank, you know, the Giants enough for everything that's happened with me up there. And I just felt like, you know, it's time, you know, with just looking at the whole situation, everything from family, baseball, everything that, you know, my gut told me it is time to step down, and you know what? It's been good, but I still want to finish strong, and trust me, I'm in this thing.
Chris, do you think Boach is done managing?
No, I don't. I think that the circumstances in San Francisco with the new GM and everything kind of changed the way things are there. I don't want to say he was forced out, but I think he was encouraged out, and I wouldn't be shocked if the right situation came along that he took it.
Tony?
No, I don't think he's done. And I think his answer gave us some clues. I mean, he usually when you retire, and you retire. That was I don't know, and I need to talk to
exactly.
my family. And you know,
see, this is what Bruce Arians should have done. Instead of saying,
are we talking about Bruce Arians?
Because
this is
Bruce Arians,
Bruce Bochy.
Yes, but Bruce Bochy did it right. He said he's not saying I am done like Bruce Arians did.
His health was a factor.
So was Bochy's.
Okay, so they decided to handle it different, you old judger.
That's the second time he's called me an old judger.
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now. So you don't think he's done?
No, I don't think he's done.
Neither of us do.
The opportunity presents itself, he'll be back.
All right, that Big Five was brought to you by EcoWater. EcoWater water systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com. Thanks, guys.
You've survived another edition of the Big Five on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, God.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Countdown today. Top five surprises in Major League Baseball through the first half of the season, and I believe we are actually pretty much at the halfway point. There's one more week before the All-Star game, but everybody's played right around 81, 82 games. So
indeed.
Halfway through, what surprises you the most? Teams, players, coaches, fans, whatever it might be. And it's either Chris Ello's going to go first or Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to go
first. Tony
Gwynn
Jr. go first.
It sounds like Tony Gwynn Jr. will go first.
number five on my list is the Boston Red Sox.
Boston Red Sox.
44-40 after being the best team in baseball and pretty much bringing every single player back.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't looked good. There's got a lot of guys got off to a slow start, including Mookie Betts was one of them. This pitching staff has been, starting pitching, aside from Chris Sale, has been pretty atrocious early on. They picked up the pace a little bit, but if you'd have told me that these guys would be sitting 11 games out of first place halfway through the season, I would have laughed in your face. So they're number five for me.
They have the same record as the Colorado Rockies do and the Philadelphia Phillies. Of those three teams, Boston's easily the most surprising, but the second most would be probably Philadelphia because They're the ones that signed Bryce Harper. They're also 44-40.
Is that your number five?
No.
I was just piggybacking on
your number five.
Gotcha.
My number five is the Yankees. Because the Yankees are the opposite of the Red Sox. They're 54-28. You know what? Their record's almost better than the Dodgers. We keep talking about how good the Dodgers are. Yankees have won 5 straight, 9 out of 10. They've done it all without Stanton. They've done most of it without Judge. They've done it with a ton of superstar performances from all kinds of guys. I think Aaron Boone's doing a fabulous job there in New York. And, you know, it's hard to ever get behind what's going on with the evil empire, but man, they're really playing some great ball all year long, and I didn't think they'd be this good.
Number four.
Left fielder, infielder, whatever you want to call him, Jeff McNeil of the New York Mets.
Good one.
Long Beach State dirtbag is leading the league in hitting.
I see you.
348. No one saw this coming. 27-year-old guy really made his big league appearance, I believe it was last year, for 2018. Yeah, last year, 225 at-bats. He hit well then, but, you know, a lot of guys come up in 200 at-bats and have some success. But he has continued it. I mean,
made the All-Star team.
He's an All-Star. Kudos to him. I like guys like this who, you know, take the time to get that seasoning down in the minor leagues. They come up and they get that opportunity. They kick the door down.
You would have won a lot of money betting on Jeff McNeil and DJ LeMahieu to be your batting leaders
midway through the season. At least DJ's done it before.
DJ has been a titleist before, but going to New York, I don't think people thought
he would keep it up.
And he has, both guys. All right, my number four is the Major League RBI leader now is 75.
Because
he's got
one.
Five tonight. He's hit two home runs tonight. Josh Bell. My goodness, what a season he's having. 24 home runs, 75 RBIs. That includes what he's done so far tonight. That surprises me. that Josh Bell would be on top. And I think as an addendum to that, the fact that Franmil Reyes, there's only three guys in Major League Baseball that have more home runs than him, I think that's kind of a surprise. I mean, I was really hoping Franmil would break out this year. But here we are halfway through the season. Yelich, Alonso, Bellinger, they're the only three that have more home runs than Franmil. A lot of guys have 24. He's one of them.
Number three,
because of the Franmil Reyes surprise, having three guys with 20 home runs before the break.
Mm-hmm.
Big surprise to me. I knew the Padres had some power, but you don't think that guys are going to put it together that quickly. But Franmil, as you said, has 24.
Yeah.
Renfro also has 24.
Yeah.
And Manny Machado now has 20.
I know.
So that's three guys with 20 home runs. That is very surprising to me, but it's also making the Padres contenders, at least for the wild card right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, as my man D. Gordon would say.
Attaboy, D.
Yeah.
Thank you, D. All right, my number three, I'll stay in the home run category. Just how about all of the home runs that are being hit in Major League Baseball?
Oh my God.
You may not think it's a surprise that there's a lot of home runs. I'll give you that. Here's what is a surprise. That there's this many. Do you realize that in the month of May, they broke an all-time Major League record for most home runs ever hit in a month in the history of Major League Baseball? In the month of June that just finished, they broke that record that had been set in May.
Wow.
So the all-time Major League record didn't even last a month. Now the new record is what they just, June, 1,142 home runs. Major League Baseball this season is on pace for 6,624 home runs. That would break the existing single-season home run record by over 500 home runs.
Wow.
That is insane. Yes, the launch angle, the propensity to go for the long ball, etc. But I never thought they could break records by this wide of a margin. They're going to have 500 more home runs this year than in any other season of baseball. That's surprising.
Crazy.
That's number two.
Okay, speaking of home runs, last year we had three guys hit 40.
That's it.
Right now, there are at least 14 guys on pace to hit 40. And there's about 10 more that are just off of the pace of hitting 40.
Yes.
Did you say 14?
1-4. 14.
Oh my goodness.
14
last
guys.
Year, last year there were three.
Wow.
So it's a surprising number. It's another home run number, but it just speaks to what Chris just talked about in the home run. 14 guys on pace to hit 40 home runs. Ridiculous.
Oh, number two.
Number two.
For me, Texas Rangers.
Yes.
Straight up. We don't look at the American League standings very often. That's why it surprises me when every now and again I check the American League standings. And I see the Texas Rangers at 46-38, holding on to one of the wild card spots at the moment. 6.5 back of the Astros. Unlikely they'll catch them. But Texas was pretty much picked last throughout baseball this year. They're not. Can anybody name more than two guys on the Texas Rangers?
I can.
Chris Woodward.
Who's that?
Their manager.
Oh, see,
I believe.
And I consider myself a fairly decent baseball fan, but I didn't know Chris Woodward was their manager.
Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo. Everybody knows him.
And then Mazzara. Shu Chu.
You guys
there.
Don't know anybody.
I just said two of them.
You did not. You said Shu Chu. Sounded like you sneezed over there. I don't think you really said the guy's name.
Both those guys are on my fantasy team. That's the only reason.
Shu Chu.
Texas Rangers.
He's
surprising.
A great leadoff hitter.
Yeah, shout out to my man Chris Woodward, former teammate of mine.
Okay,
Great guy, and he deserved this opportunity. He's blowing
it
out
the door. And he is doing it.
Yeah.
He is doing it with a bunch of no names. Nice job.
Number one.
How can we not talk about the Minnesota Twins? Now, although I picked them to get into the playoffs, I didn't see them winning the division by this much. They have the second best record in the American League. Mind you, the Yankees are also in the American League with a 54-28 record. Minnesota only has one less win, two more losses. This has got to be the biggest surprise in baseball, for most people at least. I know I picked them to get in the playoffs, but I didn't see them just beating up on the division and really the American League like this.
Can I piggyback on yours a little bit?
Of course you can.
Okay. I'm not saying the Minnesota Twins are my number one surprise, but I just wanted to add to what you're saying. They lead all of Major League Baseball with 157 home runs. They're not the Bronx Bombers. They're not a team that plays in a tiny little bandbox ballpark. They play in Minnesota where it's freezing cold in April and May, and it probably stings like hell to hit a ball at all. Probably. And they are blowing out the all-time home run record for a team. So that the Twins are number one is a good one.
They only are behind the Dodgers in terms of run differential.
Yep.
Plus 113.
Okay, my number one is your two first half Cy Young Award winners. There is no way on this earth you could have told me that the front runner for Cy Young Award in the National League right now would be Hyun-Jin Ryu. And furthermore, you couldn't have possibly even named what team this guy plays for. The AL frontrunner for Cy Young right now with 11 victories, the only one with 11 wins in all of baseball, 2.7 ERA, Lucas Giolito. Who?
That's
exactly.
I know who he is because I played with him.
Oh, did you?
You want to say, we were in the Nationals together before he got traded.
He's with the White Sox now. Lucas Giolito and Hyun-Jin Ryu are incredible and having incredible seasons. Check out their stats. Ryu especially with the 1.83 ERA. He had gone 18 consecutive games allowing two or few runs until
the Rockies
over the weekend this weekend.
Beat him up pretty good.
Well, Coors Field beat him up, I think, more than anything. Anyway, there you have it. Our countdown for today.
The countdown is now closed.
Yeah, the Rockies got, I think it was something like 24 runs against Bueller, Ryu, and Kershaw this weekend. I can't give the Rockies full credit for that.
No.
I mean, I mean, the Rockies are good, but, you know, Coors Field is, they've done everything they can with the humidor and the whole thing. It's giving up more runs this year than ever before, and that goes in line with the home run thing we talked about a little while ago.
What? I mean,
everybody is just mashing the baseball all over baseball right now, not just Coors Field. How about Coors Field in London this weekend?
What in the? Did you watch any of that?
No, I don't watch. I don't have time to watch a Yankee Red Sox game. That's 5 hours.
I wanted to turn it on to see what it was all about, but It started at 10, and I turned it on in the fourth inning. It had been 3 hours.
The two games took 9 hours to play together. Together, there was 50 runs scored, I believe, in the two games. 30 in the first game, 20 in the second game. The Yankees won 17-13 and 12-8. I don't know. Was the ballpark, were the dimensions too small? Was the air too thin in London? Did anybody have an explanation? Was it just that bad of pitching or that good of hitting?
They gave up a sixth spot in the first inning.
Both teams. Yeah, the first game was 6-6 at the end of the first inning. So, you know, Coors Field is giving up runs like never before.
Oh, I guess so in the Padres series. Yeah, I guess that's a true statement.
92 runs in the Padres series, right? So, I mean, baseball is just offensive. It's pitching challenged right now. Either that or they got to change the rules again or do something. I don't know what they can do. Do you think the balls are wound up tighter?
I think I heard something the other day. Our commissioner said something about...
What did our lovely commissioner
they
say?
They have centered the core better now, which is...
Oh, is that right?
What is he doing talking about ball design?
Because he's been getting hit over the head pretty much every day about something being different about the ball. Hey, listen, when you grab a baseball, it definitely feels a lot different than it used to feel. I can tell you that.
Interesting.
It's more. It just feels like it's more aerodynamic. There is nothing. When the ball gets in the air, there is nothing affecting the ball. It's just sliding through.
It's not just. I think where you're. You know, it's not just Coors Field where this is happening anymore. The Padres, for heaven's sakes, on a Saturday night game, hit 5 home runs the other day.
I've heard 5 home runs during this year. Like. For a team in a game, like, every other day.
It's almost all the time, sure. But for the Padres to hit 5 home runs at Petco Park on a night game, there's something going on.
You know, we don't have enough time to do today, but remind me tomorrow, we need to ask this question to our fans. Are home runs that exciting to you? Is that what's drawing you to the park? Because remember, after the strike, the home runs is what saved the game.
Right, brought everybody
and
back.
I don't know if it was just the home runs or the fact that they were chasing a record that was just, you know, It was sacred.
Untouchable.
It was a
yeah.
sacred record. So I wonder if that had to do with it. And it just seems like the home run is like constantly coming up. It just feels like it's kind of watered down. It's dead. The home run doesn't mean nearly as much anymore.
Listening to the crowd and the way they reacted on Saturday night when Manny went deep and then Franmil went deep, they were loving every minute of those home runs.
I think people do love the home run, but Tony's right. They've become a little cheaper this year.
And, the fact that 14 guys are on pace to hit 40 home runs.
And leads are cheap now. And that's why, you know, I say don't get too upset and stressed if you lose a game in the eighth inning now and again, because it's happening all over baseball. A 3 or 4 run lead, the Padres proved that in Denver, is nothing. And that's not just Denver. So it's the way baseball is right now. Lots of runs are being scored. It's the way basketball is. Lots of points are being scored. It's the way football is. Lots of points are being scored. Even hockey, goals are up. Americans love offense. At least that's what all these leagues think.
By the way, I just want to point out that they give out free jumbo jacks when there's a home run. So that might have something to do with the fans being really excited at home when the home runs are hit.
Do they get 5 jumbo jacks for 5 home runs?
I think he's just got to hit one in the game. And
one, and it's jumbo jack time.
Jumbo jack time.
One of my favorite things that Mark Mudcat Grant does on the broadcast is he gets so excited about the jumbo jacks.
He really does eat those jumbo jacks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.